to last night, the Blue Jays victorious 7-2 over the Angels. Tell me about your thoughts on the game one of the three-game series against the LA Angels.
It's a tidy little win for the Toronto Blue Jays, you know, in a game that they probably should have won. You know, you've got a young left-hander on the mound, Tyler Skaggs, who was clearly a little bit hesitant to come into the zone against some of the, you know, some of the Blue Jays' more powerful bats. And you know, you saw some good production from the bottom of the lineup as Skaggs was busy walking five guys. And then the Blue Jays, they only hit one home run last night, and it was just Michael Saunders with a solo shot in the eighth that was pretty inconsequential when you look at it. The Blue Jays, you know, won that game with, you know, by being patient, drawing walks, getting on base, and, you know, moving runners over, sacrifice flies, things like that. It's not normally how the Blue Jays win games, but this six-game homestand here against the Angels and the Twins, two teams that are completely out of the playoff race, these are the kind of wins that the Blue Jays need to be putting in their back pockets into September when they're basically going to be in their division for the entire month. So it was some tidy business to get the first win of this homestand last night.
Yeah, and I don't know how consistent things can be because we know this lineup, there are a bunch of power hitters that will strike out. But that's been the concern over the last week is the amount of strikeouts and the inability to win one-run games. And I'm curious, Arden, why is such the importance on one-run games? I know that games get tighter as we get on in the regular season and into the playoffs, but this is not a team that's built for small ball.
Yeah, you're right. I think the people are, you know, concerned about it because for one reason or another, the Blue Jays have been the worst team in baseball over the last 2 years in one-run games. They quite literally have the worst record of anyone, and it's kind of an anomaly, an aberration. You know, nobody can really figure out why that is. It's just kind of one of those weird statistical trends, but Blue Jays just have not been good in one-run games. I think back to the Baltimore Orioles a couple of years ago who made the postseason basically because of their record in one-run games. You know, they were so good in those games. And, you know, I think that, you know, the jury's kind of still out on what the predictors can be for a team's success or failure in tight games like that. It's, I think that some more work needs to be done on the data and just, you know, on the factors and what goes into that, because, you know, a lot of people will point to, oh, it's managing, or, you know, oh, they're trying to hit too many home runs, or they're striking out too much, this and that. But you can pick out any one instance in a baseball game. You can pick out an error in the second inning or, you know, a wild pitch in the third. That could have just as much to do with it as a managerial choice that's made in the eighth or ninth inning. You know, those things that happen early in the game set up what happens late in the game, which obviously takes on heightened importance and people pay more attention to those late game situations. But those early game moments can be just as influential in, a one run deficit. So I'd be interested to see some more, just some more data on it.
I'm curious your thoughts on Kevin Pillar and his return yesterday. I don't know if we're fully at 100% yet, and we knew that with Pillar. He's a guy that's got a pretty high pain tolerance. What did you think of the center fielder last night?
You know, I think he was just getting back into the swing of things, and you take 15 days off, you know, you're going to be a bit rusty coming back, and you're going to have to get used to, you know, outfield reads again and then seeing major league pitching again. You know, Kevin Pillar did a brief rehab assignment, but, you know, you're facing single-A pitchers who just don't have the type of stuff that you're going to face in the big leagues. You know, there's really no preparing yourself for it. You know, we saw him make one strange read in center field that was very uncharacteristic of him. You know, you don't see him misread a ball like that very often. And he was able to recover and backpedal and make the catch. But, you know, that was just a sign of a guy who's working through his rust and getting back into the swing of things, to use a terrible baseball cliche. But, you know, I don't have any concerns, certainly, going forward with Kevin Pillar.
Arden Zwelling of Sportsnet is our guest down the South Street Burger Guest Hotline. Made with 100% Angus beef, raised without antibiotics or hormones. Try our signature burgers or build your own. South Street Burger, better burgers, fries, and shakes. Joe Biagini continues to impress, and I know that you talked to John Gibbons about him last night, and he, you know, it's safe to say at this point Biagini has earned the trust of his manager and has been a guy that's impressed his manager so far in 2016 in his debut major league season. But what has Arden Zwelling thought of Joe Biagini this season?
Oh yeah, he's impressed everybody with what he's done. You know, as a Rule 5 pick, you know, you start with that, right? A Rule 5 pick, that means that throughout the season, you know, and especially early on in the season when the Blue Jays were still figuring out, you know, who he was and what he could offer, if he had run into just a bit of a rough patch, a few outings that didn't go his way, you know, a few mislocated pitches, if he had gotten baseballed, he could have very easily been sent back to the San Francisco Giants. and gone right back to Double A, which is where he was pitching last year. He'd never pitched in the majors until this year. So this is a guy who's had a lot of pressure riding on every major league outing that he's made throughout this season. And I think that now, you know, he's finally kind of settled into a place where he hasn't allowed a run over his last 19 and two-thirds innings. And, you know, he's settling into a place where, as John Gibbons said last night, he feels he belongs in the majors. And it's no longer a question about, you know, can this guy do it as you know, a kind of a career minor leaguer who had never pitched at this level before, right, and never even pitched at Triple A before. You know, can he handle the pressure of being a Rule 5 pick and having that hang over him, you know, his whole year? I mean, he's answered that bell completely. You know, you talk to some people with the Blue Jays, they say, hey, we could see this guy being a starting pitcher next year, and maybe we want to stretch him out during spring training and see if he can kind of be, you know, a fifth starter, or maybe fill that Drew Hutchison role as that sixth starter next year. You know, it's quite a find the Blue Jays have found with Joe Biagini. They have to be very pleased with it.
Yeah, it's funny you bring that up, because that's where I was going to go next. He's a guy that's predominantly been a starter in the minor leagues. The Blue Jays have brought him up on the Rule 5 and have to keep him up all year long, so he's been a bullpen-type guy. Is his stuff good enough to be a starter at this level?
Absolutely, and I think it's good enough because he attacks. You know, he just doesn't walk anybody. Mm-hmm. He had his issues with walks earlier in the year, but, I mean, basically, since May, he's hardly walked anyone. If you're attacking and you're throwing strikes, you can be a good starter. You know, that's a lot of times, you know, stuff plays, obviously, and a wicked curveball and a great two-seamer. You know, those are all fantastic things. But we've seen plenty of starters with, you know, off-the-chart stuff who couldn't throw strikes and couldn't last as starters. Joe Biagini throws strikes. He attacks. He comes after you. He gets weak contact. I think he absolutely has the stuff to be a good starter.
Arden Zwelling of Sportsnet.ca and At the Letters Podcast is our guest on the South Street Burger guest hotline. 7 days rest worked pretty good for R.A. Dickey last night. We'll see all three guys in this series on 7 days rest, Estrada tonight and Hap tomorrow. What are your thoughts on the six-man rotation now that we've seen it for a couple of weeks? And I know that Sanchez is not with the team at the moment, but what have your thoughts been as they made that move to a six-man and now it's been there for 2.5 weeks?
You know, it's so early to kind of see how this is going to play out. You know, I think that we won't really know playoff kind of shape. Sanchez is in for the postseason. Hap is in for the postseason. Marco Estrada, who's had to deal with the back issues, see what shape he's in for the postseason. You know, if the Blue Jays roll into October with the division title and with a rested starting rotation, you have to say that it was a success and that it worked out very well for them. Now, if the Blue Jays missed the postseason, that's, you know, you might have to reevaluate whether it was a good idea to have less starts from Jay Happ, who's legitimately a Cy Young candidate, from Marco Estrada, who's probably right outside that Cy Young conversation, and from Aaron Sanchez, who is also legitimately a Cy Young candidate. So, yeah, I think we'll be able to evaluate it more thoroughly once we get to the end of the year.
Well, and when Aaron Sanchez comes back to the big club on August 34th and looks like he's going to pitch against the Baltimore Orioles, more creativity is going to be needed by Shapiro, Atkins, and Gibbons. How do you see this thing playing out? How would you handle it if you were in that position?
You know, I think that you have to really measure how Aaron Sanchez is responding to treatment, how he's recovering between starts. You know, the Blue Jays have all kinds of sports science gadgets that they can utilize to measure his workload and his stress and, you know, the kind of toll that, you know, he had a really rough inning in his last outing, you know, with a pitch count well over 30. And those are the kind of innings that can really affect you. You know, when Aaron Sanchez is cruising, he's throwing, you know, 9, 10, 11 pitch innings. That's not what you're concerned about. You're concerned about the high workload innings and the high stress innings. So you really have to keep an eye on that. And if he's responding well, maybe you don't need to skip another start with him, you know, this year. It'll be interesting to see what they do. I'd imagine the Blue Jays want to skip at least one more start, but I think that it's a very fluid situation, as it has been all year, and that the Blue Jays are kind of measuring this, you know, as things happen and as Aaron Sanchez responds and as he performs. And I think that they're, you know, learning more about it every day, and they're, you know, their decision-making factors are changing every day. So it'll be interesting to see.
And I know that, you know, obviously Sanchez is the number one thing here, and his health, as you mentioned, is the number one thing. But how much also do you believe that Francisco Lariano and his results and how he does on the mound plays into this as well?
Well, Francisco Liriano pitched very well on the weekend.
He
looked probably as good as he's looked all season, you know, including his time in Pittsburgh. So that certainly helped the Blue Jays, I think, make the decision to option Aaron Sanchez and give him the 10 days off and skip this start. You know, if Francisco Liriano doesn't look as good as he did on the weekend, I wonder how that would affect the decision-making and, you know, how that would affect things. You know, I think that Francisco, you know, when you're looking going forward postseason, a potential postseason rotation, you have to think that Jay Happ, Marco Estrada, Aaron Sanchez, and Marcus Stroman are all pretty much locks for that rotation. Those are four pitchers who are all pitching very, very well right now and show no signs of slowing down. So Francisco Liriano's role on this team going into a potential postseason series, it's interesting to see. You know, do you use him as a starter? Does he go to the bullpen to be kind of a lefty specialist, which the team is kind of lacking right now, considering the struggle with Brett Cecil? It'll be very interesting to see how that plays out going forward.
Just a few more with Arden Zwelling of Sportsnet.ca and At the Letters podcast here on Sportsnet 960 The Fan. I know that he got a cortisone shot yesterday. He did not play last night. What do we know right now about Devin Travis?
He's sore. He's from that cortisone shot. You know, he's got a little bit of a ligament issue in kind of the knuckle of his ring finger on his right hand. He says he doesn't even really remember how it happened, which kind of tells you about kind of the grind of playing baseball every day and what some of these players go through when they're, you know, getting hit by pitches or they're fouling pitches off, you know, off their legs or, you know, they're sliding into bases at a high rate of speed. I mean, a lot of stuff can happen out there. So we'll see. You know, I'll be interested to see what Devin Travis has to say about today. I'd be surprised if he played today, to be honest with you. If he just had that cortisone shot, typically it takes a couple days for it to kind of take to set in and for the soreness and the swelling to go down. Although I wonder if with such a kind of small part of the hand, maybe it isn't as invasive of a procedure as it would be with, say, Marco Estrada's back. So I'll be interested to see what Devin Travis has to say today. But nobody seems too overly concerned about the injury.
And really quickly, it's obviously a day-to-day thing. It's too early to tell if DL time is on the future for him.
Yeah, I mean, it's simply too early to tell. I'm sure a lot of it will depend on how he responds to the treatment today.
What does the lineup look like? I know that Jose Bautista returns on Thursday. What does the lineup look like when he does make that return against the Angels?
Well, Jose Bautista is going to need some time at DH because, you know, he's coming off this knee injury, and it's something that, you know, he was pretty lucky that it wasn't a lot worse than it was. But, you know, it's something that he's probably going to have to battle with and deal with for the rest of the season. So I think the Blue Jays are going to protect him and use him at DH quite a bit. So, you know, that would probably mean Justin Smoke is pretty much nailed to the bench and in kind of a late game pinch hit role. You know, Edwin Encarnacion would play first base, and then you'd see maybe a platoon of sorts of Melvin Upton Jr. and Ezekiel Carrera in right field, or in left field if you wanted to put Saunders in right. So I think that's how the Blue Jays will likely manage it. You'll probably see Jose Bautista in the field a bit, but don't be surprised if he's DHing quite a lot.
And the last one for you, it's kind of hard to answer because we have never seen it. Going all the way back to April, Devin Travis was hurt, and now trades have come into factor with Melvin Upton and now with Liriano. So this team, as it's constructed right now, has never really been fully healthy together. When Bautista is not dealing with knee issues, when he can play the field, and we're looking at late September, early October, what does an ideal lineup look like for John Gibbons?
Probably what I just gave you. You know, you slot in Jose Bautista at either, you know, right field or DH, and, you know, Justin Smoke is probably on the bench as a late game pinch hitter, and then you've got Melvin Upton in there who's shown some power lately and can do some things for you on the base paths, and obviously Encarnacion, Martin, Donaldson, Tulowitzki. I mean, those, you know, Travis, those guys are all in the lineup. Pretty, you know, the Blue Jays have been very fortunate to not have many serious long-term injuries this year. They've had a few guys who have been banged up, but, you know, the DL list has been pretty short all season long. And so what you've mostly seen from the Blue Jays, I'd imagine, is what you're going to see going forward into a possible postseason.
I lied. One more for you. What's your expectations or realistic expectations for Jose Bautista in the final six weeks of the year? Because we know that his value has dropped dramatically for his performance on the field this season.
Well, he's got everything to play for, doesn't he? You know, he's got he's got a contract to play for as a team. He's got, you know, maybe his last, you know, go at a postseason in a Toronto Blue Jays uniform to play for, first place in the AL East. there certainly isn't going to be any lack of motivation. And I think as we've seen at times in his career, you know, a motivated Jose Bautista can be a very, very dangerous man. So we'll see if he's able to bring that back. You know, he's missed a lot of time lately, and it's tough to maintain your timing and your swing and your approach at the plate when you're missing time like that. You're not seeing major league pitching, and you're just not in, you know, in the thrill of the game. So, you know, I imagine there'll be some rust when he comes back, but he has absolutely everything to play for and every reason to, you know, really go off in this, you know, in this final month of the regular season. We'll just see if he's able to do it.